Fisherman! Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi everyone, I'm Gary Null. Today we're going to learn that slower walking ages our brains and bodies at 45, Duke University. So I'll talk about why walking faster is better, walking slower is not. That and a lot more on health and healing. But primarily today, we're going to take on the subject of bias, not just in the media, but one of the most powerful media on earth, Wikipedia. We've done over 53 separate postings and broadcasts on Wikipedia since I began our in-depth and original investigative reporting with Richard Gale, a team of investigators and attorneys 2 years ago. Today, we continue, but now we're taking on Jimmy Wales himself, the man behind all of this. The article is entitled, Why Jimmy Wales' Personal Philosophy Should Discredit Wikipedia's Trustworthiness. Also, we will be giving you a heads up because we believe that what we are about to reveal today and Wednesday will be more than adequate to bring class action lawsuits to challenge their IRS nonprofit status and to inform every member of Congress that what they provided with indemnification so you can't sue them has only encouraged them to be more outrageous in how they attack and try to destroy living people in their biographies. Biographies these people never wrote, but their enemies wrote, put on Wikipedia, and then Wikipedia's editors then tried to destroy these people with malice aforethought. It is time for the litigation to begin. But we've wanted to do all the homework, all the research, all the scholarship at the highest level of integrity so that any attorney or class action firm will see that we have done it for them and what we've done will stand the test of time. So we're going to continue our deconstructing the whole myth that Wikipedia is objective or fair or balanced. It is none of the above when it comes to health issues, political issues, and many of the scientific issues. Also, time permitting today, I want to play you a clip of a recently completed testimony before Michigan legislature where Dr. Paul Hureau, who is a top person in the Department of Environmental Medicine and Public Health at a university, testified about 5G small cell tower legislation hearing and why it's bad to the bone, why they have no science supporting its safety on their side, meaning the communications industry side, but we have all of the proof that this is a terrible idea on our side of it. I want to share that with you. Once again, because of so many people coming over to our network, Progressive Radio Network, we have expanded the capacity to hear, and also we've made this morning some technological corrections and put in some new technology to make even a better sound over the internet and over the archives. That happened just an hour ago, so you should be able to hear the show much better today. Our number to call and listen live each day, Monday to Friday, Eastern Standard Time, noon to 1, is, write it down please, 605-562-7900, 605-562-7900. Our archive number is 701-719-9976, 701-719-9976. We begin with a study. When you think about the most powerful and influential way that we can really help our body, going to the gym is important. bike is important, but the most commonly performed exercise in the United States is walking. It's that simple. And in that walking area, we're talking about power walking. However, there's two ways to examine this. One is people go for a stroll. They go for a casual walk. Unfortunately, that is called junk exercise. It would be no different than going to a gym, getting on one of those stationary bicycles, and pedaling, and reading a paper, a magazine, listening to music, but you're just pedaling. There's no resistance. You're not going to benefit. That's called a junk exercise. Now, when you tighten it up so you have to really push on your legs to get that benefit, then you really grow from that. Similarly, the walking speed of 45-year-olds, particularly their fastest walking speed without running, that's called power walking, can be used as a marker of their aging brains and bodies. Slower walkers were shown to have accelerated aging on a 19-measure scale devised by researchers, and their lungs, teeth, immune system tended to be in worse shape than the people who walk faster. So the idea is the faster you walk, the better it is for you. Equally striking neurocognitive testing that these individuals took as children could predict who would become the slower walkers. At age 3, their scores on IQ, understanding language, frustration tolerance, motor skills, and emotional control predicted their walking speeds at age 45. Now, doctors know that slow walkers in their 70s and 80s tend to die sooner than fast walkers their same age. But this study covered the period from the preschool years to middle life and found that a slow walk is a problem sign decades before old age. So just remember, you walk slow, you die faster. You walk fast, you live longer. It's that simple. And this was a study published in the Journal of the American Medical Association's Network Open. And they did MRI exams. They did a lot of work on this. So for those of you who've been doing power walking, speed walking, you're on the right side of your health. Also, there's a new study out from the University of Illinois about the coffee bean and the nutrients extracted from the bean. We're not talking about brewed coffee. We are not talking about drinking coffee. We're talking about the organic green coffee bean. And in that coffee bean are a series of phytonutrients, and they can help if you have inflammation throughout your body. And if you have insulin resistance, it can help. That's good. And this was published in Food and Chemical Toxicology. Also, overweight people before the age of 40 increases the cancer risk. And this is the University of Bergen, which is in Norway. And what they say is this: the risk of cancer increases considerably if you gain weight before the age of 40. And the risk increases by 70%. Now, this was an international study, and researchers just wanted to find out how adult overweight, and meaning 25% or more of your body mass index, that's primarily belly fat, and what it means. And the study showed that if you're overweight before 40, wow, you have a 70% increase for endometrial cancer, 58% for male renal cell cancer, 29% for male colon cancer, and 15% for all obesity-related cancers, both sexes. So being overweight and being obese is a major risk for several cancers, and that's what this came down to. So just remember that. Avoid being overweight. And they looked at 220,000 people from Norway, Sweden, and Austria in this particular study. A 10-minute massage is all you need to help regulate blood pressure and your heart rate. University of British Columbia, published in the Journal of Alternative Complementary Medicine. So if you had a head massage, You know, where you go into one of the nail salons all over America, and they've got that little bench, and you sit on the bench and put your head in that little cradle, and then you get a, I think it's a dollar a minute, very inexpensive, but they'll come up and they'll massage your back and neck and head. That's a good thing. Now, massage is the process of pressing and rubbing and manipulating the skin and tendons, ligaments, and muscles of the body. And massage therapy utilizes this process in order to help manage health conditions and enhance physical and mental wellness. And today, massage therapy is considered a part of complementary and alternative medicine, and it's recommended alongside other treatments. And it's been practiced for hundreds of years in various cultures, Chinese, Indian, even the Romans. In Greece, Hippocrates defined it as the art of the rubbing, and it became popular across Europe during the Renaissance, and it's only in the 1850s that massage therapy became known in the United States. A head massage is extremely beneficial. It's a subcategory of massage therapy, and it's easy to administer because the person can remain clothed, and the only apparatus needed is a chair. And to apply head massage therapy, the therapist begins by kneading the shoulders and neck before running their fingers through the scalp. This stimulates the scalp by allowing the blood rush to the massaged areas. And to bring it back to a relaxed state, the therapist uses their palms and mimics light movements across the back and the sides of the head. It only takes 10 minutes, but all kinds of good things come from that, including improvement with your heart. Yeah. They found that there was a better normalization of the heart rate. So, just takes 10 minutes. It relieves anxiety. It aids in infant growth. It improves sleep. It supports cancer therapies. It reduces pain after surgery. It removes tension to the nervous system. And it even maintains urinary and digestive system. Important. Now, I don't believe there should have been a study to figure this out, but there was one. At the Chou-Nantes Department of Oncodermatology in France, and they did a study on 6,700 participants across six countries in North America and South America and Europe, and they said poor dietary habits, increased stress, and harsh skin-like routines are among the most significant factors, meaning if you eat sweets and cakes and unhealthy foods, you're going to have a greater likelihood of acne. Wow, did we really need a study to know that, since we've known that for centuries? But that's they do this anyhow, so one more study. And Georgia State University did a study published in the peer-reviewed journal Cell that showed they had isolated the gut bacteria that can prevent and cure rotavirus infection. What do I mean? The presence of specific microbiota, that's the good bacteria or microorganisms that live in the digestive tract, can prevent and cure rotavirus infection, which is the leading cause of severe life-threatening diarrhea in children worldwide. And that's according to the Institute of Biomedical Sciences at Georgia State University. And it could lead to them being more aware and even how to have healthy, clean liquids, because in a lot of these countries they don't have clean water, but also how to give them probiotics that are rich in the type of microbiota that can impact the rotavirus. Just so you understand, the rotavirus, that's R-O-T-A, is a highly contagious virus that can cause severe diarrhea and vomiting and fever and abdominal pain and death. And rotavirus infection occurs as a result of direct contact with an infected person or exposure to their fecal matter. And infants and young children are the most susceptible to the disease. And it leads to severe dehydration, hospitalization, even death. In fact, over 215,000 deaths each year worldwide in children younger than 5 years of age. So, one more reason why healthy probiotics can create a healthy intestinal microbiota, and that helps protect you. Also, from Prince of Songkla University in Thailand, comes a study about dragon fruit. Now, if you've never had dragon fruit, it's It weighs about the same as a large apple, and it is very unusual shape. It's shaped almost like a football, and it has different colors like reds in it. And then you open it up, peel back the skin, and it has a kind of a off-white color with little black seeds in it. It doesn't have much taste, but it's very nutritious. According to this study, the dried, the dragon fruit, which, by the way, has a very kind of pinky skin on the outside, and you just peel that off. It's very nutritious. It's a big laxative. It can really help people who are not regular. And they found that it's the oleosaccharides that have the prebiotic effect. And it stimulates the growth of certain lactobacilli and bifidobacteria, all of which have been associated with improving your gut health and making you more regular. This was published in the peer-reviewed journal Biomedicine and Pharmacotherapy. So, dragon fruit. And more stores are carrying it. It used to be you couldn't find it anywhere. Now you can. In other countries, they use it all the time. They put it in salads. It's kind of neutral in taste. And finally, this is really interesting. This is from Babraham Institute in the United Kingdom, published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. So it's a big deal. Vitamin A and vitamin C can help erase cell memory. Okay. Wow. Didn't know that. So we know that vitamin A and vitamin C have tens of thousands of articles about how good they are in their biochemistry and potencies on PubMed, but they also affect your DNA. Researchers at the Institute and their international collaborators have discovered how vitamin A and C act to modify the epigenetic memory held by cells, an insight which is significant for regenerative medicine and our ability to reprogram cells from one identity to another. And the research is published today in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Science, our most respected and our number one primary scientific journal in the United States. But let's try to make this less scientific. For regenerative medicine, the holy grail is to be able to generate a cell that can be directed to become another cell, such as a brain cell or heart cell or lung cell. Cells with this ability are present in the early embryo, what we call embryonic stem cells, and give rise to many different cell types in the body. And for the purpose of regenerative medicine, we need to be able to force adult cells from a patient to regress back to possessing embryonic cell capabilities and to, in effect, forget their previous identity. The cell's identity is established at the DNA level by epigenetic changes to the DNA. So these changes don't alter the order of the DNA letters, but control which parts of the genome can be read and accessed. Consequently, every different cell type has a unique epigenetic fingerprint in forcing and maintaining specific patterns of gene expression appropriate to the cell type, and reverse cells back to the naive pluripotent state, this epigenetic layer of information has to be lost to open up the full genome again. And they were able to do that using vitamin A and vitamin C, in effect, to erasure of epigenetic marks from the genome. And that is really something absolutely unique. So who knew that those of us taking vitamin A and vitamin C on a daily basis, improving our health, were also helping to limit many of the epigenetic and hence memories encoded from the past. Wow, that's really cool. I'm Gary Knoll. We're 19 minutes into our program. We're going to take a break for a moment and come right back at you with an in-depth discussion of why we should all be concerned about the individuals who've taken control over the information that we need in our lives. And just put this in perspective. let's just say that you had terminal cancer and the doctor said there's nothing more we can do. And you've done everything they told you to do, but it didn't work. So now you think, well, I heard that there's some other therapies that might work. So you go into Google and you say, alternative cancer therapies. And you read a site and it takes you to Wikipedia. And you start reading about, you know, the orthodox approaches are good. And all alternatives don't work at all. They're all nonsense quackery. So let's just say that you just say, okay, I'm resigned to my death. How many people might we imagine or guesstimate have died because the information tried to discredit all alternative therapies, all hundreds of thousands of alternative clinicians around the world, hundreds of millions of patients who did get better, but we'll never know about it because you never hear of a positive story, ever. No, Google supports censorship. They're proto-fascist. And the people over at Facebook do the same, and Wikipedia is no different, except Wikipedia does it with a vengeance. So we're challenging them. We're challenging all of them. In a moment, you'll hear that challenge. Nice to have you with us, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. Before we go to our special in-depth review today, I just want to mention that I've just completed 2 weeks of an 8-week in-residence on the only study of its kind, a real hard, objective scientific data of trying to see if we can reverse the aging process. And that's what we're working at, and we'll know. We'll know soon enough, in which case I'll share the information with everybody, and you'll have a chance to see what succeeded or what did not. And what we're doing is we're working with people on a very specific series of protocols that I have created for this effort. And people are doing it, but two people had to drop out, one because they had a medical emergency in their family back in California that would require them not being able to stay in the study. And the other, because a person came into the study but had multiple life-challenging diseases and hid that from us. And once we found out that this person was really sick, I did not send him home. I said, I will help you, but with separate protocols, but you can't be part of the study because it would skew the study. If you understand how it works, if you have 5 people in a study who really stick with the protocol and have amazing results that are statistically significant and prove the point, but 5 more people in the study who don't follow the protocol, just kind of lazy about it, and they don't have results, then you have 0 net gain, in which case, even though you prove something, you can't publish it because it's not considered what it is. In any case, we now have room for 2 more people to come into our study, and you cannot have a life-threatening disease. You must be in residence for 60 days, and your 60 days would start from the day that you arrive and your blood work is at a special lab or taken. You go through a whole day of different types of tests and measurements of your skin folds, impedance, body fat, blood pressure, all physical, the whole exams, and then you start the protocol. And the protocol is vigorous, but not impossible. Exercising, stress management, journal writing, watching philosophy films to stimulate deeper thinking, vegan diet, lots of juicing, 15 glasses of juice a day, proper hydration, and quiet time. And the evenings, I've got a whole entertainment library for them that I brought over from my home with all the great classics from Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers and Clark Gable, all the things that people of a certain age would appreciate. So it's a nice balance, and it's all done in beautiful nature. If you would like to be considered for this, then you'll have to speak with Lou Anne Panessi. Now, I'm going to give you Lou Anne's number in a moment, so you can call her. But it is important that you be able to commit yourself to this study, know that you're motivated enough to stick with it, and if it's positive, at the end of 60 days, not only will you be on your road to reversing your aging, but hundreds of millions of people around the world will be able to realize that just because they're a certain chronological age doesn't mean that they're actually a biological age at the same or older. You can actually reverse your aging at the cellular level. That's never been proven. We're going to try to see if we can't do it. A marathoner broke the two-hour marathon. No one's ever done that in history. 1:59:40. I think it was a Kenyan. I don't have access to television or newspapers, but I'm getting information on that. That's as important as when Bannister broke the four-minute mile. I'm willing to bet at this moment that in the next year, others will break that. Even though it's never been broken in all these decades, over 100 years and more, when you open a door and show it's possible, other people come in. So that's what's important. And so I believe that what we're going to do, it's never been done, takes a great deal of commitment. It's very important. It's not just about your health and well-being. It's about a healthier and better world. So you're going to be able to call, and I'm going to ask, I'm going to ask Jesse to send over Luann's number. As soon as I get it here, I will provide it to you. And while we're, before we do that, I want to make sure we get this in. So I'm going to play Dr. Paul Hero testifying at Michigan's 5G small cell tower, because this is not in the New York Times, it's not on CNN, it's nowhere. And yet we have tens of thousands of scientists on our side with thousands of documents and studies showing the dangers of 1G, 2G, 3G, 4G, and now 5G. And yet an entire generation of millennials and young people are being encouraged to sign on because it makes everything faster without looking at any of the health effects, which are devastating. We're going to play this. When we come back, I'll have her number. Then I'll do my my review of Wikipedia.
Swiss Re will underwrite liability policies for electromagnetic radiation because they think the health risk is too great. In other words, they believe that when the lawyers get involved, and I know many of them, the companies who delivered this radiation to the public could be wiped out. By combining 5G and self-driving cars equipped with radar, you would create an exceptional opportunity for a class action lawsuit against both telcos and the car industry. I don't know how you can support the deployment of 5G, a new cellular system that will seriously enhance human exposure to electromagnetic radiation, when you know what Dr. Goldberg just told you. And you know that the modulation that is introduced by 5G is a new threat on biological systems. We used to have frequency domain multiple access, time domain multiple access, code domain multiple access, and now we have 5G beamforming, all data compaction strategies that maximize the biological impact of this radiation. In other words, it's going to get a lot worse with this deployment. You know that all human cancers, and I use cancer as the, so to speak, the example here, although there's many other health effects of this radiation, because it's the most closely documented, because we have a long history, bad history, with cancer. All human cancer, leukemia, colon, breast cancer, lung cancer, respond to electromagnetic radiation at levels hundreds of times below the FCC recommendations. By the way, the FCC have zero medical and biological expertise. They take their marching orders from the Institute of Electrical and Electronics Engineers. And while this institution was setting the standards, I was present. And I know how lightheartedly they suppressed any information that would impair the development of their applications. They just didn't want to hear about it. So it was never considered. How can you allow this when the International Agency for Research on Cancer, the foremost authority on human cancers, warned you twice in 2002 and in 2012 about the link between electromagnetic radiation and cancer in humans? The environment has to be cleaned up of electromagnetic radiation progressively, not augmented in radiation. Electromagnetic radiation has repeatedly been linked with cancer in animals. Chu in 1992 reported with 200 rats a multiplication by four of primary malignancies in animals exposed. Ripaccioli in 1997 reported with 200 rats enhancements of lymphomas by a factor of 2.4 in mice exposed to EMR. This year, the National Toxicology Program is reporting strong evidence of similar results with 1,440 rats and 1,680 mice. Finally, also this year, the Ramazzini Institute in Italy is confirming the NTP results using 2,448 male and female rats. So I urge you, don't listen to me. Listen to the advice of 4,288 rats and 1,680 mice that were put in a carefully controlled situation and are telling you that cancer for one disease, only one disease, is enhanced by this radiation. Diabetes is 25% of your health budget. If electromagnetic radiation enhances this even a little bit, look at the cost that it entails. These rats were not biased. They couldn't be. They developed tumors as a result of the radiation to the best that science can determine. And there is a group of people that are hypersensitive to these fields confirming that the effect is real, and these people have genetic variations that we understand cause are linked to the electromagnetic radiation. What America needed a long time ago was a chicken in every pot. Now what America needs is a fiber, an optical fiber in every home. The data has to come true, but wireless radiation is unfortunately a bad idea.
Thank you, Mr. Giroux. And if you would, briefly, what are your credentials with McGill University?
All right, that's one more. We're going to be doing a series of these in the upcoming weeks, showing you what the media is not telling you, because the New York Times is actually partnering on promoting 5G. By the way, Luann Panessi's number is 903-881-7008. 903-881-7008. And we've had some remarkable results just in the first 2 weeks. We do a re-examination every 2 weeks for the 8 weeks to see how people are progressing. And they're just really doing absolutely superb. One guy said that he had remineralization of the bone by a percentage that is not possible with any medical procedure. And he was just flabbergasted. That was just today. So it's working. Now to our article. Excuse me. This article is entitled, Why Jimmy Wales' Personal Philosophy Should Discredit Wikipedia's Trustworthiness. When we think about the most powerful and influential voices in the world, we more often than not recognize presidents, statespersons, leading celebrities, leading social reformers, and great visionaries. But rarely would Wikipedia's co-founder Jimmy Wales be found on our list. Nevertheless, it is perfectly legitimate to suggest that Wales has received enormous, undeserved recognition for his Wikipedia that is now in the top five of the world's most influential websites. People utilize Wikipedia for it being the largest storehouse of human knowledge that is simply a click away to access. Unfortunately, many people visit Wikipedia to gain access to information that may contribute to life-changing decisions, especially regarding medicine and health. Now, given all of its hype, Wikipedia has become a trusted resource. Yet few users truly know or understand the politics and controversies that rage behind its editorial backrooms and the encyclopedia's parent entities, the Wikimedia Foundation. Complete lack of oversight and responsibility for the information posted. This lack of oversight is a violation of its parent foundation's most fundamental legal responsibility to control the operations of Wikipedia and have it conform to its stated purpose. Wikipedia hides behind the constitutional guarantee supporting the right to free speech. Therefore, the foundation runs away from taking responsibility for content posted on the encyclopedia, including gross misinformation and the defamation of living persons, including the premeditated, orchestrated destruction of reputable individuals' research and accomplishments. These actions are like a public flogging. Sometimes it will be done where there is no thought by the public that a person being destroyed deserves it. Something one might expect is happening and has been happening on Wikipedia in a public square in Saudi Arabia. It is not uncommon to read about pioneering alternative medical doctors and practitioners who have helped thousands of people, denigrated as quacks. This is despite the fact that for decades there has been a long legacy of doctors and researchers and medical pioneers who have shown that many of the medical theories and therapies Wikipedia denounces are instead very effective. By abandoning any pretense to objectivity in many critical areas, Wikipedia has abandoned its mission to be an encyclopedia and is now not, in our opinion. And it is not entitled to the benefit of any doubt in determining its responsibility for its acts of defamation of character and of various public falsehoods. People such as Dr. Deepak Chopra, Caldwell and Larry Dalsey, and John McDougall, and many dozens, hundreds, who have spent their lives improving society and the lives of millions of people and were acknowledged by their professional peers until Wikipedia attacked them. Many of these physicians have been unique innovators who explored areas of health and treatment that their profession steered away from. There's also an increasing body of scientific literature to support them. Therefore, for Wikipedia to condemn this entire medical history en masse poses a dire threat to society, both individually and collectively. This may very well be a human rights crime. Chopra, for example, has introduced millions of people to transcendental meditation and Ayurvedic medicine, which have improved their lives accordingly and is supported by the peer-reviewed literature. Today, there is a growing number of board-certified physicians from highly respected medical schools like Harvard and Stanford who have chosen to seek more efficacious and safer therapies than what conventional medicine has to offer. These men and women have accepted an alternative route because of the enormous failures and iatrogenic injuries now rampant in our dominant medical paradigm. Notable medical critics such as former Cochrane pioneer Professor Peter Gochi, the former editor-in-chief of the New England Journal of Medicine, Professor Marcia Angel, David Healy, and Stanford's Dr. John Ioannidis have shown that many of our most common drug regimens have failed to show efficacy for treating mental disorders and conditions such as chronic pain and cardiovascular disease and cancer. However, none of these criticisms of modern medicine have initiated any concerted fundamental change to correct the way medicine is practiced in modern society. And of course, this is largely due to the overwhelming power and influence of the pharmaceutical industry and how it exerts this over our federal health agencies. Now, we're not stating any secrets. The simple fact of the matter is that more patients are turning towards complementary and alternative health therapies because these physicians are finding much greater patient benefits with non-toxic medical regimes. Moreover, these medical systems have overwhelming support from research found in the scientific literature that Wikipedia categorically denies. We may take one telling and not infrequent an example. A person who is undergoing conventional medical treatment of cancer may learn about non-toxic natural treatments for relieving the adverse effects of chemotherapy or radiation. Or the person may be advised to learn a stress reduction technique such as meditation or yoga, which the scientific literature has repeatedly shown to improve the chances for recovery. Or she or he may Google alternative and non-drug therapies to find nutrients or medicinal herbs to further protect the immune system. Inevitably, Google will take the patient immediately to Wikipedia, where it will be discovered that all of these alternative therapies are viciously attacked and denounced as pseudoscience or quackery. And this despite the many thousands of published studies in the National Institutes of Health's PubMed database. Unfortunately, the average person is unaware of the other option, such as PubMed or the Mayo Clinic resources, and therefore they are inadvertently forced to rely upon Wikipedia. Several peer review analyses have concluded that Wikipedia's complementary and alternative medicine pages are poorly written and fraught with errors and biases. In a joint analysis of 97 Wikipedia articles on complementary and alternative medicine therapies that was undertaken by the Universities of Toronto School of Public Health and Dalanzhou Qi Hospital in Taiwan, only 4% were assigned a good status, meaning 96% were not, and 56% required, quote, substantial improvement in their content, end quote. Hence, in our opinion, Wikipedia has failed to provide any balanced and authoritative information on these pages. Neither Jimmy Wells nor the Wikipedia Foundation's board members and officers possesses a professional background in the biological medical sciences, nor is there evidence that any of these individuals have made efforts to objectively investigate alternative medicine in order to make realistic executive decisions to have Wikipedia's health pages corrected. To the contrary, the Foundation has ignorantly permitted the condemnation of these therapies to continue without due process. We have spoken with nationally renowned constitutional attorneys who suggest the Foundation may be engaging in human rights abuses because they are intentionally depriving the public of life-saving information while condoning those who advocate it, or condemn those who advocate it. Therefore, every Foundation board member, which includes Jimmy Wells, based upon the California Attorney General's rules, is violating the law and very likely the organization's IRS nonprofit status. The Foundation claims that under the terms of the U.S. Communications Decency Act, it is not liable for the text of Wikipedia editors on its website until it has been fully informed about offensive and derogatory statements. After such time, and if the Foundation and its board fail to make the necessary corrections, it risks being held liable and legal measures can be taken. This means that every Wikipedia fiduciary may be liable for legal actions. Lawsuits have been filed against Wikipedia for inappropriate accusations appearing on the site's biographies. Yet, in our opinion, these individual suits have failed to succeed because the initial approach was defective. Rather, a major class action suit, with the federal government's full awareness, may be the only solution to bring this rogue nonprofit organization to account. To say there's an epidemic of dysfunction on Wikipedia would be an understatement. By all accounts, Wikipedia's co-founder Jimmy Wells and the Wikimedia Foundation's Board of Trustees have failed to take responsibility for the unbridled scorn, the bias, the misinformation, the libel, the defamation of character and assassination that persist on the site. It is quite understandable that Wells would distance himself from liability from being held accountable. Irresponsibility is a central thesis for his stated personal philosophies, which, as we will describe in a moment, permit chaos to govern over a faux trickle-down illusion that accuracy and consensus can alchemically prevail on Wikipedia's web pages. This is especially the case for highly charged controversial topics such as medicine, health, politics, and corporate accountability, economic theories, and religion. Before co-founding Wikipedia with Larry Sanger, Wells' earlier business ventures were equally criticized for rampant dysfunction and a lack of executive responsibility. Former employees of Wells.com marketing scheme BOMIS, B-O-M-I-S, have described the company's mismanaged and maladjusted culture that Wells oversaw. One employee reminisced, quote, "Of the years I worked at BOMIS, most employees were treated with almost non-existent aloofness. He, Wells, talked to anyone very rarely. No one really knew what their responsibilities were. No one knew how things were going until they got laid off. Some, such as me or Tim Shell, he treated with mocking disdain," end quote. Another employee remarked, quote, "Jimmy was such a non-existent manager of all the employees, no meetings, no discussions on how the company was doing, no nothing from him," end quote. After numerous attempts by individuals to reach out to Wells and the foundation to request their responsibility to have their biographies corrected of misinformation and even lies and slanderous comments, they are simply advised to continue proceeding through the same failed editorial process as before or receive silence. Clearly, Wells and his foundation have no intention to be responsible for the damage caused by Wikipedia's editors destroying reputations of innocent people and worsening the very health of millions who are misinformed by Wells' skeptics who dominate many of the encyclopedia's health entries. Knowing a little about Jimmy Wells' personal philosophies may guide us to better understand the dysfunction that plagues many Wikipedia topics. During his public lectures and interviews, Wells has acknowledged his deep devotion to Ayn Rand's objectivist creed. Remember Atlas Shrugged and The Fountainhead? Being among his favorite literary works, and the economic theories of Friedrich Hayek from the Austrian School of Economics. Both ideologies should have been burned in a historical toxic waste bin long ago. As we will point out, Wells also embraces the radical scientific materialist opinions of modern skepticism and it's sympathetic to the new atheism promulgated by British evolutionary biologist Richard Dawkins. New atheism is also rampant in the skeptic organizations such as Center for Inquiry and James Randi Educational Foundation. Mixing together the ingredients of Rand, Hayek, institutional skepticism and the new atheism is a predictable recipe for aggressive pathologies of intolerance and extremism. Furthermore, each of these belief systems carry many of the defining characteristics of a cult. According to Wells, objectivism and Hayek's text, quote, "the use of knowledge in society have served as a template for his theorizing the benefits of an open-source encyclopedia for achieving accuracy in knowledge and wisdom." However, as Stacy Schiff wrote in The New Yorker, Wells' belief in a free-for-all policy to gather the world's knowledge may have turned Wikipedia into, quote, "the world's most ambitious vanity press," end quote. Again, Sanger quoted in The New Yorker article observes, quote, "Wikipedia has gone from a nearly perfect anarchy to an anarchy with gang rule," end quote. But this is the spawn one might anticipate from a marriage between Ayn Rand and Friedrich Hayek. Certainly for the numerous junior editors, including many medical doctors and university researchers who have attempted to correct the truckloads of misinformation and bias and outright scientific distortions and lies on complementary and alternative medical pages, it is clear that the personal, unprofessional opinions of anonymous skeptics who have hijacked much of Wikipedia's health entries, what the open-source pioneer Edric Raymond may be referring to as an infestation of, quote, "moon bats," end quote, outweighed medical expertise and even enormous bodies of peer-reviewed medical research. When queried about the controversy regarding a leading Wikipedia administrator's fraudulent credentials using an anonymous handle, Essia, who claimed to have a doctorate but never graduated from college even, Wells simply wrote it off, quote, "I regard it as a pseudonym, and I really don't have a problem with it," end quote. What do I mean when I speak about objectivism and Jimmy Wells? In the Ayn Rand entry on Stanford University's Encyclopedia of Philosophy, which attempts to take a neutral stand, we read, quote, now mind you, this is from Stanford University, Whereas RAND's ideas and mode of presentation make RAND popular with many non-academics, they lead to the opposite outcome with academics, end quote. However, trying to remain even-handed with RAND's objectivist philosophy is quite a challenging task for anyone possessing a modicum of critical thinking skills. RAND thoroughly rejects the idea that the privileged and wealthy elite have a responsibility to improve society for the benefit of the collective as a whole. This may account for Wells' disregard towards academic professionals to serve as senior Wikipedia administrators on subjects they have earned expertise in. Instead, Jimmy Wells shows favor towards the horde of anti-intellectual proletariats, which make up much of the skeptic community, such as the stage magician James Randi and Susan Gerbic's Army of Guerrilla Skeptics on Wikipedia. Stanford's Encyclopedia continues, quote, Ayn Rand's polemical style, often contemptuous tone, and the dogmatism and cult-like behavior of many of her fans also suggest her work is not worth taking seriously, end quote. We agree. Altruism and human values of kindness and giving an antithetical are antithetical to objectivism. Ayn Rand writes in her deceptively titled book, The New Intellectual, The Philosophy of Ayn Rand, that, quote, capitalism and altruism are incompatible. They are philosophical opposites. They cannot coexist in the same man or in the same society, end quote. Now, this might perhaps be Rand's most truthful statement. She was herself a self-indulgent brat who cared little that her family was starving during the Soviet regime while she ran off to the theater. Hypocrisy flowed through her blood. She castigated government welfare while unconscionably collecting Medicare benefits and Social Security. I think Gore Vidal, who never withheld his disdain for Rand's philosophy, wrote in Esquire that, quote, she was a great attraction for simple people who are puzzled by organized society, who object to paying taxes, who dislike the welfare state, who feel guilty at the thought of suffering of others, but who would like to harden their hearts. Ayn Rand's philosophy is nearly perfect in its immorality, which makes the size of her audience all the more ominous, end quote. Jimmy Wells often pronounces honorable words, even sometimes oozing with altruism, in his pep talks to his site's editors. On a Wikipedia mailing list in December 2005, Wells wrote, quote, We are Wikipedians. This means that we should be kind, thoughtful, passionate about getting it right, open, tolerant of different viewpoints, open to criticism, bold about changing our policies, and also cautious about changing our policies. We are not vindictive, childish. We do not stoop to the level of our most worst critics, no matter how much we might find them to be annoying. Really? Everything you just said that you're against, you actually are for. What utter contemptuous hypocrisy you ooze out and is made clear on every one of the edits on Wikipedia's health pages involving alternative medicine. And by the way, we found his ex-wife Pam conveys a different image that aligns with Ayn Rand's, a moral objectivism of noxious self-interest. A 2008 profile of Wells in W Magazine recounts, quote, to him altruism was evil. Okay, so mean giving to other people, helping other people who are in need, that's evil? End quote. Or that's my quote. But back to his ex-wife, who says that Wells therefore discouraged her from pursuing a nursing degree when they were married. Quote, his whole Mr. Save the World is, well, is so contrary to what he said every day for 7 years. End quote. For the jet-setting Wells, who resides in the United Kingdom, removed from his foundation's San Francisco operations, egoic fame seems to be a top priority and to continue serving as Wikipedia's, quote, benevolent dictator, end quote. That's his words. That's how he described himself, a benevolent dictator. Wow, you mean like a Mussolini? You mean like a Napoleon? Which benevolent dictator are you referring to, Jimmy? We're curious. As we will see, Wells is astute in spewing empty words, Off of Wikipedia, Wells has made many vile statements towards those who do not embrace his prejudiced beliefs, notably medical skepticism, and these same destructive sentiments are rife on Wikipedia. Similar to Ayn Rand, Wells seemingly has a low opinion of democracy. The, quote, great misconception about Wikipedia, Wells told the New York Times, we aren't democratic. Our readers edit the entries, but they're actually quite snobby, end quote. And objectivism is pomposity on... Oh, by the way, which Ayn Rand so happens to have been addicted to. Now, we've come up to the end of our regular program, but this is a long article. And we go into Wells and the Austrian School of Economics and show you how he was influenced by Hayek's work on price theory and how that was central to how he decided to manage Wikipedia. And we debunk that. Then there's another section on medical skepticism where Wikipedia's co-founder says that homeopathy is a fraud. And he calls people believing in energy medicine and calls them lunatic charlatans. And by the way, that was after receiving a letter showing that all the peer-reviewed literature supporting body-mind medicine. And still, he would not move, nor did the editors who followed him. And therefore, they started their own derogatory concept of lunatic charlatans to define almost anything in alternative medicine. And by the way, we found all of his social media posts on Quora, Q-U-O-R-A, where he posts periodically, and where he answered, and where he contradicts himself. And this is to all the board members, and to the attorneys, and to the officers of Wikipedia. Quote, this is Jimmy Wells. My own view is that Wikipedia should be very careful about sourcing, including stepping up skepticism across the board. End quote. There you have it. Skepticism is to be the determining arbiter for what can be ruled authentic medicine on Wikipedia. Hence, it doesn't matter that there are hundreds of thousands of studies in the peer-reviewed journal done by respected institutions throughout the world and published. No. People who hang pictures in a store who are skeptics, they suddenly have more authority? So now we have put you on notice, Wikipedia. We've put all the fiduciary on notices. We have sent you an 86-page report from the California Attorney General highlighting that once you've been made aware of a problem, if you do not correct it, you can be personally held liable for it. And we have many pages here where we took all the skeptics' opinions and their opinions, which are toxic, and their biases, which are toxic, and their chatter between each other on the inside where they're editing someone's page, including the person editing my page, who is cursing me, and then that's a person you allow to edit a living person's bio? That goes in violation of everything that you have told the government that you are for. Well, we've just exposed you. And this article should be read by everyone and shared, especially if you have attorneys. Read it. If you know someone in a class action law firm, read it. We've done the homework, and it's time now that appropriate action be held with congressional hearings, with audits by the Inspector General of the Internal Revenue Service. And I do not expect the mainstream media, which is complicit, to do anything about any of this. I do expect now that we should take an honest look. After all, it was a Dr. Mel Hooper Kopelman, Vice President of the International Education Charities Acupuncture Now Foundation, and noted Wikipedia Policies and Prejudice as one of the world's leading websites, may be in violation of basic human rights. Here's what Kopelman writes, quote, in 2011, the UN Human Rights Council declared the right to access information on the Internet to be one of the most basic human rights of global citizens, partly because more than half of all patients use the Internet as a first port of call for specific health information. This makes the quality and accuracy of this information an important public health issue, end quote. So for all of his rhetoric about making the accumulation of human knowledge accessible to the people of the planet, Wells' blindness, fueled by his devotion to marginal and cultic philosophies, has resulted in Wikipedia being a perilous embarrassment to the medical profession and its potential to evolve further. Beneath Wikipedia's excellent information on subjects that have no immediate or direct impact upon people's lives, it is a disgrace on subjects that truly matter to human well-being and health. I'm Gary Nall. Thank you for listening and have a nice day.